I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. This is like coming home to Pat and I, because we worshiped here for about 23 years before we moved to Greenville, Ohio. We worship now at Richmond, Indiana. But it's good to see everyone, and most of you know us, and we know most of you. If we have visitors in the audience, why, we welcome you, and you're honored guests, and we invite you back at each and every opportunity that you have. I'll be preaching from the Word of God the best I can, but I am human, and if I should make a mistake, why, you'd be considered my friend to point that out to me. No matter who's preaching from a pulpit or teaching a class, always check your Bible to make sure that what is taught is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because we're all trying to get to the same place, heaven, and the only way we're going to get there is to teach the truth. When I was preparing for this lesson, I was thinking about sometimes what you get is not what you see is not what you get. I was thinking about Pat. She bought some tomato plants this year. She went to the nursery and bought 5 tomato plants, I believe it was. She thought. And we got them home and planted them, and they grew real good and had plenty of tomatoes on them. But as weeks went by, the tomatoes didn't get any bigger. Come to find out that I guess they'd switched the labels on them, and she got 5 cherry tomato plants, and down home we call them tomatoes. So they're good to eat, but they're not too good to put on sandwiches. As you can see on the backboard, our lesson tonight is entitled The Mountain of the Lord's House. If you have access to a Bible, would you open it please to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 2 through 4. Now this is over 700 years before Jesus came. Isaiah prophesied the establishment of the kingdom, or the church. He writes in chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now the premillennialists tell us that the church is an accident, that it's a substitute, that it's an afterthought in the mind of God. That Jesus came to establish a kingdom, but he postponed it or pigeonholed it because he was rejected by his people. And they say in its place, he set up the church. And we're now in the church age as they perceive it. But Isaiah in this chapter prophesied of the establishment of the church called the house of God. And here in the second verse, he says, it shall come to pass. And here is the certainty of it. my friends. When God says something is going to happen, it arrives right on schedule, just as he predicted it would. If you would, please, turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. These are the statement as to what God would do to the Assyrians or Assyria. Verse 24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have talked, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrians in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Now the principle applies here to the establishment of the church. God purposed the church, and when the fullness of time came, as we read in Galatians 4:4, if you'd like to turn there, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Or in due time, let's read Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The Lord established the kingdom, or set up the church. Now John the Baptist came on the scene in Matthew chapter 3, preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 4:17, that the kingdom was at hand. And when he gave the limited commission to the disciples or apostles, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, we'll read that, if you would, please. 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Mark 9:1, Mark 9:1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So some of those standing there would still be living when the kingdom was established. Every passage prior to the cross looks forward to the establishment of the church or the kingdom. And when we come down to Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, the church is referred to as already in existence or the kingdom. And Acts 2:47 says the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And in Colossians 1:13, we'll read, please. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? And also in Hebrews 12:28. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we've got the church or the kingdom, my friends. Here's the certainty of it. The Lord said, I'm going to establish the house of Jacob. And indeed, he did. But the time this was to be set up was in the last days. Now, the last days is the expression which means the last dispensation. There are three dispensations in the Bible. The patriarchal, and then from Sinai on down to the cross, the Mosaical. And the New Testament under which we live is referred to as the Christian dispensation. Now the prophet said, it shall come to pass in the last days, our last dispensation. This is the last dispensation. There won't be any more. This is it. It's also called in the Bible the last hour, or the hour. In John 4:23. We'll read 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also in John 5:25, we read that also. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now the dead here is the spiritual dead. Let's turn now, if you would, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So here it's referred to as the last time. And in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and divers manners speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the last days is the Christian dispensation, and the church was to be established during that time. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 24. I want you to notice how this fits right in with Isaiah 2. Verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now let's drop down to the same chapter, to verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now the kingdoms of men, they come and go. the great Babylonian Empire fell. The Medo-Persian Empire fell. The Grecian Empire fell. And the great Roman Empire fell. And the kingdom of God, the New Testament church, was set up during this time. And the Bible says it will not be moved. The Church of Jesus Christ is a divine institution. And it's built upon Jesus Christ, and it will stand forever. And thanks be to God that we can be citizens of it. The New Testament church is for everybody, everyone. It's not like the old kingdom of God, which was national. That is, it involved Israel. But the New Testament kingdom is individual and universal. And every person has access to this kingdom. If you would please turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are familiar verses. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Also, Mark 16:50. We'll read that. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we can see here the scope of the gospel. It's worldwide. The Lord's church is not a building. This building here is not the Lord's church. This is just a convenient place for the church to meet. The church is in the individuals, in the hearts of men and women. Let us notice now the manner in which we get into this house. Now, if you would, please, let's go back to our text, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. About the middle of verse 3. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So before an individual can become a citizen of the New Testament church, he or she has to be taught. Let's turn to John 6:44. John 6:44. We'll read 44 and 45. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all talk of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. When we have heard the word, then we must believe it. Mark 16:15-16. We must repent of our sins. Acts 2:38. We must confess his name. Romans 10:10. And as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:37. and we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21. This concludes my lesson for tonight. If you're in the audience and you're unsaved, not a Christian, I want you to come and give Jesus your heart tonight. Jesus is tenderly, softly and tenderly calling. If you've already obeyed the gospel and you strayed away, you sinned, you need to come and repent and make that right. If we can help you in any way or assist you, we bid you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.